Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Georgia's own Jimmy Carter, you know, is really a very remarkable man. Farmer, nuclear submarine commander. I spent some time in the Navy. I was on the other end of the spectrum. I know what kind of people it takes to work for Admiral Rickover back then. He must be a brilliant man, politician and president of the United States. But I read something, men, last week that gave me an increased interest in listening harder to what this man has to say. I know all about his work with Habitat for Humanity and his heart for reconciliation. But I subscribe to a journal. It's called Mission Frontiers. It's a journal put out by the U.S. Center for World Missions, and 56 families in Pasadena, California. I don't want to elaborate on that. I'm tempted to because they're really a very exceptional group of people. What they do, they're all very a lot of PhDs. The science is called missiology. What is Christ doing around the world? And they have an amazingly good 50,000 foot perspective on the world. It's very, very edifying to read their stuff. But in that journal, I read about some of the desperate situations in this world that we live in that are just waiting for someone to come and save the day. For instance, I read in there that Jimmy Carter personally led the attack on the guinea worm pathogen in West Africa. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the guinea worm? You have. What starts out as a microbe in the water supply ends up as a 30, and this is a little rough here, ends up as a 32-inch snake in the belly of the victim. When it breaks the skin, eventually it comes out of the body, you have to spool it off on a stick. It takes days to do it, because if you try to pull it out and you break it, it'll kill you. Jimmy Carter became aware of this horrible pathogen on a trip to Africa. And he returned to the U.S., raised the millions necessary, and where 20 years ago there were 600,000 victims of this horrible thing, today it's down to almost zero. Dramatic example, men, of what one man can do in this world. Jimmy Carter believes, men, that faith should be a verb. That it should go into action. That it should be a living faith. He's right. Open your scriptures to Hebrews, the 11th chapter this morning. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, this is the season finale on Moses in the Hall of Faith. I guess we've had about four or five lessons on it, and I'm personally excited about the opportunity I've had to get to know this man better. Hebrews 11, and we're going to do the season finale today. This week, I don't know if you know it or not, but there was the season finale for some of the good network TV shows. I won't tell you what some of my favorites are. You'll think bad things about me. But Hebrews will finish Moses today with verse 28, 11:28. It says here, by faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Men, very often the Lord speaks quietly to his people, right? In a still, small voice. But in the Passover, he is going to give us a dramatic picture of what he wants our faith to look like. The people of Israel, God's people, were oppressed. Slave labor, 600,000 men plus their families. The Exodus was about 3 million people. Pharaoh would not let them go. After six plagues, locusts, frogs, gnats, he kept sending Moses in with more of this stuff. He wouldn't let him go. And finally, Moses goes to him and tells Pharaoh that at midnight, the Lord would go through Egypt. And I'm going to quote now out of the book of Exodus. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh to the firstborn son of a slave girl and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. This is going to be a horror show. Man, this is severe. This is dramatic. Men, the Passover, and like I say, getting ready to come and talk to you guys, is really, you know, I'm the biggest beneficiary. It gives me a chance to think about this a little bit. It's a type. It's a preview. It's a dramatic picture show of a reality that God wants to communicate to us loud and clear. What would it take to have the angel of death pass over the Israelite household that were households that were in bondage to Egypt? What would it take for him to pass over? Now, I want you to start to let your imagination run a little bit here, okay? This is Technicolor. First of all, each man is to take a lamb, one for each household, a male without defect, right? Then at twilight, you are to slaughter it. And you're to take some of the blood and you're to put it on the side posts and the lintel, okay? The side posts and the lintel of the house. You getting the idea here, men? Huh? What is the lamb? Christ, men, is our Passover. He is sacrificed for us. But it has to be applied. The blood has to be sprinkled. It has to be applied by every man to his own house. Right? Isn't that what the scripture tells us? By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Think about sprinkling as distribution. Charlie and Jim and Bill and Jim and Chris and Scott and David, each of us have got to apply it to our own lives in our own homes. The destroying angel will break in if any man fails to apply it, even if he prays all night, even if he's a real good guy, even if he fails to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintel of his home, the angel of death will break in and slay the firstborn. Now, what is the Lord trying to tell us here, men, in living color? How many years before Christ is this? The Exodus. Who's a Glenn? 1,500 years is it, or closer to 2,000? Something like that. Okay.
That's a good range, Chris.
What is he trying to tell us in living color, men? We are saved, men, from the wrath of God through the blood of Christ, and here's a great word, you lawyers over here, and his imputed righteousness. Now, what does imputed mean?
Given to.
Right. We can't save ourselves. It has to come from him, and it has to be applied individually to each man. That is the message. And if you're sitting here this morning on Memorial Day Friday and trusting in anything other than what Christ has done for you, you are vulnerable, men. You are vulnerable. You have no protection. And as John says in the New Testament, God's wrath remains on you. Amen? Don't wait another day. Get real with God. Ask Him to come into your life and save Him from your sins as I did 25 years ago. By grace, I was saved through faith, and that was not of myself. It was a gift of God, not of works. Okay, but men, there's more. There's more. In the Passover, the whole lamb has to be consumed. Nothing is to be left over. What's the picture? What's the picture? God wants to know Him in all His fullness, as the New Testament says, and to know all the fullness of God. So many people, especially in our culture, have a truncated relationship with the living God. Men, he wants us to be using all of our gifts and all of our talents to work with Him to redeem all of life. He wants marriages to become more intimate. One of the things that I'm realizing is, as I talk to men, I'm not looking at anybody here, is that this rat race culture that we live in, what it's doing is it's destroying the intimacy between men and women in marriage. You can't, if you don't spend the time, Charlie, you're not going to get that heart race the right way. He wants marriages to become more intimate. He wants children, men, to become more emotionally whole. Do you know where children find their emotional wholeness? They find it in the unity of their parents, in the emotional and intellectual and spiritual unity of their parents. He wants budgets to be balanced. He wants disease eradicated. What would happen? Just imagine this for a while. If all of the retired medical scientists played 20% in this country, 20% less golf, and declared war on some of the pathogens that plague people around the world. Do you know that malaria terrorizes 300 million new victims every year? Somebody says, well, they won't let them use DDT anymore. But I'll tell you, when we Americans, when we decide we're going to do something, when we throw some money at it, we know how to get it done, don't we? Well, why aren't we declaring war on something like this? Man, the Passover lamb is to be eaten with bitter herbs. Another little facet of this thing. It's to be eaten with bitter herbs. What's the picture? True faith, men, makes sin bitter to the soul. If it's true faith, sin is bitter to the soul. And let me just say this now. I know this is a heavy. If you remain selfish, if you remain immoral or consumptive or mean or and inconsiderate, you may not truly be saved. You may be religious, but you may not be saved. Right? Amen. When we eat the Passover lamb, in other words, when we receive Jesus Christ, we do it with our cloak tucked into our belt. This is prescribed in Exodus. Our sandals are on our feet. Our staff is in our hand. And Moses writes, he says, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What's the picture? What's the picture? You're saved for what? For action. Not to sit around, not to lay around, you know, laymen who lay around. No. It's for action. That's the picture. That's the way the Lord delivered this to us. And man, I don't know if Jimmy Carter is right about everything he stands for. I don't know him very well, but I intend to. But I know that he is right about this. Faith is alive. It is a verb. We need to get going. And we need to get off our you know what. I mean, this is really, this whole thing has convicted me. And reading about what's going on around this world compared to how we live, we got to get going, men. So the challenge today is this. Tell your wife today you love her. Do something sacrificial. Go home. Tell her about your day. Make conversation, even if it kills you. Tell your children about the living Christ. Tell them about his salvation for them and how they can get under his protection. I bet there are children represented by these men in this room that don't know the plan of salvation. And let the people you work with know you care about them. Help them. Spend time with them. Time with people. That's the effective executive. That is the exceptional executive. Maybe you have a talent, man, that's underutilized and needs to be expressed helping others. There's a guy at our Houlihan location at Midtown. He's a retired banker, and he's become a financial coach, and he doesn't have to get a big fee. This is so terrific. I met with him recently. He said, I don't need any more money. I got plenty of money. But there are guys that don't even have a budget. They don't know if they're coming or going financially, and he's going to go out and coach them. And if they don't have any money, he'll do it pro bono. That's great. Use your talents. And you don't have to go to Africa. Spend some time in a mission here in Atlanta. Where's John Shingler? Trinity what?
Community Ministries.
Community Ministries. He'll tell you how to, if you want to do something heroic, he'll show you how to do it, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He and Earl, right? Okay. Bottom line, men, we need to get going. We need to eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the dramatic picture show of the Passover. Thank you that Christ is our Passover. And Lord, I just pray that this picture would run through our minds this weekend, and we would come out on the other side next Tuesday with a kind of a new kick in our step, and be about whatever it is you have for us to do in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.